Numbers chapter 14. I know we're there this morning, and if I had continued the message, we'd still be here this evening. So I thought I would take a break, and I know most of you would probably appreciate that. I used to wonder how Paul could preach so long, well into midnight, and I think he's one of my Bible heroes, but it is real easy, especially when you get to thinking about a section of scripture like this. And so, Numbers chapter 14, and we looked this morning, the title of the sermon was, How Could They? And so I want to also give you two other things, I think, that kept them from crossing Jordan, going on with God, advancing in their relationship with the Lord. They turned back, died in the wilderness. And I'm hoping that maybe these things would, God would help us not to make the same mistakes that the nation of Israel made. So Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? This is Numbers 14, verse 3 there. They said in verse 4, one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for another opportunity to open up your word. Lord, we pray that you would especially minister to us this evening. God, that you'd help us to understand your mind, Lord, your will. Or even what we need to do as we try to follow after the Lord Jesus. Lord, we confess that without you, we're just blind. Lord, we're taking a stab in the dark. We don't know what step to take. We don't know what needs to change in our life. Lord, we don't know the problems, spiritual troubles that we have. And we need you, God, to speak to us and to reveal to us, God, the needs that we have. And we need you, God, to deliver us and help us that we might become more like Jesus. We pray that our fellowship with you would increase, that you teach us, Lord, how to walk with you, or keep us from making the same mistakes that the nation of Israel made here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And help us, Lord, to cross over and to go on and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. So that this morning we looked at one aspect of why the children of Israel might not have crossed over the Jordan. And we saw it was because of the discouraging words that hindered them. Remember, the 10 spies came back with a bad report or an evil report, and those 10 spies discouraged the nation of Israel from crossing Jordan and inheriting the promises of God. Remember, those discouraging words may come from the devil. A lot of times when you have thoughts, it's not really your thoughts. It's thoughts that the devil's kind of throwing into your mind. Have you ever been riding down the road and all of a sudden these thoughts come out of nowhere? Well, guess what that means? The devil somehow slipped into your vehicle and he's trying to get you to think on things that the Lord wouldn't want you to think on. His name means accuser. Remember, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. When you get feel miserable about your Christian life, you feel like I can't live the Christian life, I'm the worst Christian ever. I promise you, the devil's behind that. He wants to discourage you from walking with God. Amen? Amen. It may come from us. You know, some of us have a tendency to beat ourselves up, right? To be overly judgmental on ourselves. And the devil certainly knows how to use that, especially if in our childhood we develop those habits. Remember, I told you about even one of our own children that I was concerned with. And then, lastly, sometimes it comes, God forbid, from even intimate family members. You know, that I try to tell parents all the time, be careful. Don't tell your children, you're worthless. You can't do anything. Those are some, and you know, parents used to say things like that all the time, right? You're good for nothing. I heard one mother said, I'm going to rip your arm off and beat you over the head with it. I did adopt that statement to my kids. But sometimes it sadly even comes among the church family, right? And the Lord forbid that. So discouraging words, number one. Secondly, distrust in their leadership. Look again at verse number 2 of chapter 14. And all the children of Israel murmured against who? Against Moses and against Aaron. You may recall, though, every time they got in a difficult situation, who did they first accuse? Every single time. Every time they got in a tough spot, they said to Moses and Aaron, sometimes just Moses, most time Moses and Aaron, why have you done this? It's your fault that we're in this situation. Again, they murmured against Moses and Aaron. Notice it says in verse 2, and all the children of Israel. I mean, nearly every one of them, right? Except for Caleb and Joshua, of course, Moses and Aaron. But nearly everybody. Boy, it really feels bad when everybody's criticizing you, don't it? But they had distrust in their leadership. Moses and Aaron, especially Moses, never did anything that should cause distrust in his leadership. Aaron did, and we'll look at that. But Moses, all he really did was try to obey the Lord and do what the Lord wanted him to do. I think there is clearly a lesson here. Moses didn't have anything to do, in the sense of where they were at. Right? It wasn't his plan to bring them here and get them to cross over Jordan. This has been something God promised Abraham. This is all God's plan. Moses is just a simple instrument in the hand of God. This is what God always wanted for them. Amen? So in essence, they weren't complaining about Moses' leadership. They were complaining about the leadership from God. I said this morning, one of the things I really felt that the Holy Spirit wanted us to get a hold of was, you know, every time we go to the Bible, it needs to be a mirror to us. It's not for somebody else, it's for us. And I believe the Lord put that really strongly upon my heart. But here's something else I really think the Holy Spirit wanted to stress to us in this section of Scripture is we need to get to a place as Christians where we learn no matter what we face, God is really the one that's overseeing that. Now, it's easy when that's good things that we face, right? When the water's flowing, the man is everywhere, our bellies are full, it's easy to say, man, God is so good to us. But when there's no water, and you've been without 3 days of drinking anything, or you've traveled in the wilderness, and you're running out of food to eat, or you're again, your back's against the wall, and there's nothing there, no water anywhere, boy, it's really easy to say, God, what are you doing? But you know, the same God that led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea is the same God that also brought them to those places of barrenness and no water and an army coming up swiftly behind them. The good and the bad, God is overseeing both of those things. So when something great happens, we need to learn to give God glory for that. But listen, even when we go through a difficult time, we need to remember that God is still in charge of that. And I want to plead with you to please somehow jot that thought down or make some note of it, because you're going to be there. You're going to be in a tough spot. And the first thing you need to do in that tough spot is say, listen, God is in control of my life. God knows. He's put me here. This is not a time for me to murmur and complain and criticize God's will in my life. This is a time for me to say, God, I acknowledge you're in charge, and I submit myself to you, and I trust you. We look through the Bible, we see where men and women have been able to do that in some of the most difficult times in their life. Right? I think of the great example, and you all probably do as well, of Joseph. You know, as a boy, he had this great dream. His brothers would bow down and do obeisance to him, and even mom and dad would bend the knee, and he'd be some kind of leader. And he'd have authority over them. He didn't understand that as a boy. But when God begins to work out that plan, none of us would have guessed that's the way God's going to bring that to pass. In fact, if he had known that's how God is going to bring it to pass, he might have been a little bit afraid of it. Right? So how is God going to bring this to pass? Well, he'd be sold into slavery by his own brothers. Remember, you read recently Genesis. First, they were going to kill him. Then they sold him into slavery. Now he's in Potiphar's house. And he's doing a great job. And now Potiphar's wife casts her eye on him, lusts after him, and he refuses to sleep with her because he fears God. Doesn't want to upset his master, Potiphar. And the wife lies on him, and what happens to him? He's put in prison. You know the remarkable thing about the selling into slavery? And there's a passage in the Psalms that said that when he was in prison, he was put in chains, and those chains hurt his feet. It was not an easy time in prison. But you know, the remarkable thing is there's not a word of, oh God, why did you do this? Lord, what? I'm doing right. I keep doing right. And every time I do right, it turns out wrong. I mean, listen, I didn't sleep with her, the wife. I mean, I did right here. Now I'm in prison. So even when he did great, even when he honored God, sometimes it turned out wrong. Right? So don't let the devil say, man, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm giving my tithes, I'm doing all this that I think God wants me to do. And look, my life is still not working out. You trust God regardless of what the circumstances are. And Israel never learned this. This was that one great lesson that they never took on. You know why God allowed them to face the Red Sea, and why God allowed them to face 3 days later the waters at Meribah, where they couldn't drink the bitter water? Then why God allowed them not to have any manna from heaven until he sent it? And then later on, where
they had no water again to drink, and Moses had to smite the rock, and water comes gushing out. Why did God keep leading them into problem situations? The reason he did that was to build trust in him. But you know what? Every time he did it, they said, "We can't trust God. We can't trust God." And I'm telling you, if you don't ever get a hold of this lesson, when God does something in your life, it's difficult and hard, and you don't learn to trust him in that difficult and hard time, then when he moves you down the way, you'll never learn to trust him in it.
I mentioned to my wife, I was thinking about this message and meditating on it, and I come across her favorite verse again. And that's in 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of her favorite verses. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you or overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able." You know what that means? That means every time you're tempted, God has put a restriction on it. Is that what it said? He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Right? So he said, okay, devil, you can tempt him, but you can only tempt him to this point. Because he can't handle anymore. She can't handle anymore. Is that what that verse is saying? So even when he allows that temptation to come to you, he knows you can, through Christ's strength, gain the victory. He doesn't want you to be take steps backwards. He wants you to go forward. And he even uses the attacks of the devil to strengthen your faith, not to weaken your faith. If you see what God's doing, you can recognize that, and you can work with God. But if you're blinded to it, you'll be just like Israel. We should have just, why did you bring us out the Red Sea? We should have just died in Egypt. Why didn't you bring us out to the bitter water? We should have just died in Egypt. Why didn't you bring us out here with no bread? We should have just died in Egypt. Why didn't you bring us out here to the desert? There's no water anywhere. We should have just died in Egypt. Why didn't you bring us to this Jordan? Now we got all these enemies. We should have just died in Egypt. They never learned it. Why? Because they would not trust in their true leader. Let me tell you about men, including pastors. We are just dirt. Even pastors make mistakes. You look at Aaron. Aaron caused them to make a golden calf and bow down and worship it. You know what the Bible said? If you're reading in Deuteronomy, by the way, I was kind of disappointed this morning. None of y'all corrected me. I said Numbers, and we're on into like Deuteronomy chapter 16, 17. Nobody said, "Preacher, you got that wrong." Yeah, on your read, I'm Bro Phil's got his own program. He's got his own little group in the church that's reading his. We're in Deuteronomy. But I come across it in Deuteronomy where he said, "I was going to kill Aaron because of the golden calf." And Moses interceded for it. I mean, that was a serious sin for him to lead them into idolatry. Men make mistakes. Remember, even in Numbers chapter 12, they Miriam Aaron are complaining about Moses and his leadership. By the way, who can remember who was the youngest one of those three? Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Who was the youngest? Moses was. You think mainly they thought, "Hey, we're older than you are. Why are you trying to boss us around?" Yeah. All the other kids tell Vicky that all the time. She was even, you were even getting looks tonight, weren't you, Vicky? They probably thought that. Hey, and they criticized Moses to the point that God had to deal with both of them. So yes, men will fail you.
But even in that, it's not about those the men that failed you. It is about the ultimate leader that you have. See, if I don't try to point you to Jesus, I'm failing you. If I don't try to get your love for Him to increase, I'm not being the pastor I need to be. My greatest goal should be to strengthen your relationship with Christ. And even if I'm not attempting to do that, that's the greatest need that you have in your life. So it's not about mere men's leadership. It's about what God is constantly doing. He's the one that has directed every step. Can I say this? He's directed all of your steps as well. Even if Brother Phil and Sister Linda said tonight, hey, we got a report back, and it's not a good report. You know, we've got some serious things that we're facing. Guess what? God's aware of that. God knows what He's doing. He still doesn't make mistakes. He's still in charge. He still loves us. He still knows what's best. You see, I had to personally come to that conclusion in my own life. The night that the young lady ran the stop sign and ran into my vehicle, I was coming down Schindler. She was coming in, down Hips, and Hips has a stop sign, and she didn't realize it had a stop sign. And she just kept about 60 miles an hour, they said, shot right through that stop sign, hit my truck, flipped the truck, threw me out of the vehicle, broke my back and leg. I'm laying on the side of the road. I don't know if I'm going to walk again. I don't know if I'm going to live to see tomorrow. Brenda's thrown into just chaos. And I had to learn during those days, this is not an accident. This is not a mistake. It's not just something that skipped God's knowledge. God knew all about it. In fact, He's in control of it. And I could lay there and say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to your purpose. I know you're trying to make me more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. I still don't fully understand everything He did, but I know this, He was at work in my life. Even allow those circumstances. And I trust Him in that. And you and I have to get to a place where we're like Joseph. If we don't, we're going to be like these Israelites. That we come up to a big test in life and we say, we can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because they distrusted their leader. And their leader was God. They never learned to trust in God. And you need to learn to trust God no matter what the situation in life is. Amen? Amen? Again, it's easy to trust Him when you have a healthy body. But you need to trust Him when that body's broken in pieces. Amen? That's when it's really critical. Remember this, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. By the way, I've been in rehab for almost 4 months. I'll be honest with you, spiritually, I was on the decline because I'd been out of church for a while as well. And so when I first got out of rehab, I was in a wheelchair. We had a meeting here and they said, well, Tommy, we want you to speak at this meeting. And I'm just being honest with you, I did not want to speak. Not because I was bitter at God, but because I'd been out of church and I was shriveling up spiritually. But I remember even still, God directed me to this text. And this is one of the first sermons I preached after I got out of rehab. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Me and Jenny, we like to listen to preaching on the YouTube and online. So sometimes I'll say, hey, you need to listen to this preacher. And she'll say, Dad, you need to listen to this sermon. And we both enjoy listening to a preacher named R.B. Ouellette. And R.B. Ouellette was a pastor, and then he went out to preach in evangelistic work, and he got a cyst on his vocal cords. And they did a surgery, went in there, took that out, and did radiation. And so he went from having a beautiful singing voice to a rough, raspy voice at his best. That was about all that he could get out. And then it come back and it got worse. And was it cancer? They got cancer in there. And they had to go in there and remove it. And then now he's got the little, you put your finger over the cover. And it makes that, almost mechanical sound. So he's went through all that. Now he's back at his home church where he pastored for many years. His first sermon, and his sermon's out to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When I am weak, he is strong. You know what that does to me? That teaches me there's a man there that knows God. And he trusts God no matter if he doesn't have cancer or if he does have cancer. If he's able to sing beautifully or sing like I sing. Or have to look like that he smoked cigarettes his entire life. And this is how he talks, with that mechanical sound. And he could still rejoice in that. That's the lesson they never got a hold of. That's why they didn't cross. And if you don't get a hold of it, you're going to come to one of these events in life, and guess what you'll do? You'll turn back as well. And I don't want that for you. And then lastly, I do have one more point. I'll try to hurry on this one. Not only did they face discouraging words and distrust in their leadership, that leadership is God, but they also still desired the world. You notice every time they come to a point of trouble and problems, the first thing out of their mouth was, "Let's go back to Egypt." Every time. It wasn't, "Let us go to the tabernacle. Let us get a hold of God. Let us ask Moses to pray." They never thought of that. It was always Egypt, 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 Egypt. The world, Egypt is a picture of the world. The world, the world, the world. Sin, sin, sin. They never got it out of their system. I'm telling you, you will not go on with God until you deal with that tendency that's even in some of your heart still. So can we all just be honest? There are pleasurable things in this world. Right? There are things this flesh enjoys. And did it ever shock you when you're reading through these books and Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy? Does it ever shock you that when you look at these precious people, when they talk about going back to Egypt, none of them ever says, "Hey, do y'all remember we were just enslaved there and being beaten? And it was cruel, and we were begging God, please deliver us. We can't take this anymore. God, help us. Keep your promises. Send somebody to help us." They never mentioned that. Not one time did they say, "Y'all remember we begged God to get us out of there?" You think that some of this congregation would say, "Wait a minute, don't y'all remember? It wasn't that long ago. We had all night prayer meetings crying out, God, please, we can't take it anymore. This is too much." The devil loves to do the same thing to us. He always wants to show the glittery, shiny things of the world. But he don't want to show you they're in the septic tank.
Right.
He wants you to forget the grief and sorrow and trouble and remorse and guilt that sin always brings. And it always brings it. Amen? I tell some Christians, they're looking at the world, it's the same old rotten, filthy stuff that you left, that Jesus saved you from. Amen? Isn't that true?
Same old sinful stuff. They still had the world pulling at their heartstrings all the while. Let me tell you this, you're never going to make any real progress in your spiritual life as long as that the world still has such a strong pull. That's why, for some of us, you need to make a clean break from the things of this world. Instead of kind of keeping it around and in arm's reach, you need to make sure that's, I'm through with that. I'm not going to be near that or involved with those things anymore. Yes, the flesh enjoys them, but I'm not here to live for my flesh. I'm here to live for God. So the world had a constant pull on their hearts. They were blinded to reality. Amen? This is reality, and we're not going to go much further. You've got a choice to make all the time between two worlds. Right? And what was the choice that these Israelites made over and over again? Egypt. And not fellowship with God. Right relationship with God. An eternity with God. Now, you ever remember reading in the book of Exodus where God came down in Egypt and spoke, and they saw the glory of God, and they went to the tabernacle. None of that in Egypt, right? So when they got out of Egypt, they saw the glory of God, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and they saw God's presence up on the mountain, and they actually heard the audible voice of God. Wow. Amen? They saw the miracles, they saw the Red Sea, they saw God's glory coming down and filling the tabernacle. I mean, no one had experienced this presence of God like they experienced once they got out of Egypt. Amen? And I just want to remind all of us, there's so much more that the Lord has for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live with Satan being my master and sin troubling me. I want to live closer and closer to Christ. Amen? Amen? I hope you do too. We need to live to please God and not for the pleasures of this world. We need to live for the Creator of all things and not for things. How many of you know Christians that get wrapped up in wanting more money and having more stuff? And by the way, that's an easy temptation for all of us to slip into. Wanting more and more and more. That's an easy temptation. I have to keep that in check in my own mind a lot of times. Am I just going after this just for more money? Or is this something that really needs to be done? And you need to be prayerfully checking things. Am I trying to do God's will? Or is this just about making money? And we need to live for the Creator of all things instead of for things. Amen? We need to live not for ourselves, but for another. Israel never learned this lesson, did they? And they never learned to not listen to discouraging words. They never learned to trust God. No matter what the giants, walled cities, that don't matter. Our God is greater than any of that. Should have been their answer, right? That should be our answer as well. And they never did get free of this old world. And if you love this world, it's going to bite you someday, sometime down the road. It's going to have its way. You might be able to play with it for a little while now, but sooner or later, you're going to have to make a choice. And sadly, if you've been catering to it, most likely you're going to choose it other than Christ. Amen? You know what Paul said about this world, and no wonder he was such a fantastic Christian. He said this in Galatians. He said, I'm crucified to the world. And he said this as well. and the world is crucified to me. He said, listen, I died to it, and it's dead to me. Boy, no wonder he was a spiritual giant. Amen?
Amen.
And really, that's not. Listen, we're going to live what down here? Now, a lot of people are living to see 100. I hope all of y'all live to see 100, 120. I hope y'all have a long life. Some of them are shaking their heads. I asked Brenda one time, I said, wouldn't you like to live to be 120? She said, no. I said, you would if you were 119. you're 119. Maybe just one more year. Sooner or later, though, we're going to leave this world. And then we're going to be in eternity. And why are we wasting so much time for this stuff that's going to burn up? Right? Cut Egypt out. So, Lord, I don't want the things of this world. I want you. And I promise you, if that's your mindset, it's going to be easier to cross over Jordan and go forward. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we love you. And Lord, the honest truth is that's because you first loved us. And